My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
But I do think that that's how last night hit me. I wonder how it hit you. That's what I texted you last night. I go, this feels like a confidence problem to me. I hear, you hear, we all hear from fans every day, my friends. Nobody's got confidence in the Giants batting order. And then last night was when I went, oh, Bob Melvin doesn't either. How on earth do you play it that way? Tyler Fitzgerald represents the only guy right now in the lineup who might hit the ball over the left field fence and win the game. How on earth do you take the bat out of his hands for one shot at a Lamont Wade sac fly, which only knocks you to the 11th inning? That's all it would have done. This whole idea of trying to tie the game when the other team scores a run is wild to me. Wild to me. Hit the ball in the gap and tie the game and have another shot at it. That's the top of your order. That's the only group that's hitting right now.
You're right. And back to my blackjack analogy, you ever lost a bet and chased it?
Hell yeah.
That's exactly what Bob Melvin was doing.
Boy, I watched a buddy do that one time.
He lost a bet by not sacrifice button the night before with Yaz. And in Yaz, I mean, the reason I always sacrifice button with the runner on second and nobody out, whether it was the first inning or the third or the fifth or the seventh, is because as a left-handed hitter, I couldn't pull a fastball that was 97 away. And that's what they do to you as a lefty.
Yeah.
So you get on the plate and you try to make that away pitch be middle so that you can roll over to second base. Maybe you hit it in the gap and get lucky. But Yaz the other night in the 10th inning was getting 97 up and away, and he was trying to roll over it. That's why you just lay it down and let the next guy do it. Last night with Tyler Fitzgerald, I just got a message from the Giants that I forwarded to you that Tyler Fitzgerald was the first guy to 15 home runs in his first 59 games, and the only other guy to do that was Willie Mays. So there's a text message from the Giants and their tremendous PR department that dug up that nugget. I don't know how they got it. I was texting one of them today, my buddy Maverick, and he was telling me that he went on Baseball Reference and found that. But then there's a message that's comparing Tyler Fitzgerald to Willie Mays. So I understand the frustration, but here's the thing. Like, I'm going to be your baseball therapist today, and hopefully this makes sense to you. This is not a should have Conforto bunted or not. This is not a Tyler Fitzgerald should he have bunted or not. This is an organizational philosophy. You can't assemble your team and go out and sign Tom Murphy in the offseason who hits home runs and Jorge Soler who hits home runs and Matt Chapman who hits home runs and say that's what we are. We're going to be a team that thumps. We're going to be an on-base percentage team. We're going to walk. We're going to hit home runs. And then all of a sudden when it's nut cutting time in August or September, say, we're going to be a situational baseball team now. and we're going to lay some bunts down, and we're going to get guys over, and we're going to get guys in. They haven't been good at situational hitting since I've been back from Washington, D.C. Yeah.
No, they're terrible.
I don't think they believe, as an organization, on moving a leadoff double. I think they get three cracks at swinging as hard as they can to try to score them, and that's that. The runner on third base, that's just being a professional hitter. That's realizing I got to do whatever I can to get the runner in from third.
They
but as far as bunting or not bunting, I looked on Baseball Reference last night. Michael Conforto doesn't have a sacrifice bunt in his career. Tyler Fitzgerald had like five in the minor leagues. So everybody out there, fans think it's easy to bunt. It's not easy to bunt unless you work at it and you practice it. I had 23 sacrifice bunts 1 year. I worked my ass off at it every day. There's a technique and an art to getting a bunt down. Yeah, you can bloop that all you want. I'm proud of that stuff. Yeah.
No, that's good. And 23 in 1 year.
When everybody in the ballpark knows you're bunting, yes, in the bottom of the eighth, and the third baseman, Ken Caminiti's breathing down your throat, and you still have to kill it on the grass in order to get the runners over, you got to work at that. It's not just everyone thinks, oh, the ball's only going 10 feet. Anybody can do that when it's 98 miles an hour and you've never done it and you don't know how to do it. The angle of the bat, where you place your top hand in order to kill the baseball. If you're bunting to third, you point the knob to first. If you're bunting to first, you point the top of the barrel to third. And it's knee to ground bunting. You never drop the barrel. I could do a 2-hour dissertation on the art of bunting. But everybody, all my friends, think, well, Austin Slater's got to be able to bunt. Well, wait, that's part of his game.
Well, it's what you're supposedly supposed to do if you're feeling overpowered.
If you go to the ballpark at 4 o'clock and watch him hit, they do two bunts. And it's like a 50-year-old coach throwing, they bunt one, bunt two, and that's it. It's not part of the game of baseball. It's not part of their organizational philosophy. So if you're the 1981 St. Louis Cardinals and you're playing at Old Busch Stadium on turf and you assemble a bunch of guys that can run and fly and steal bases and cover ground and they're all singles hitters, then in August and September you expect them to hit home runs. That's not the roster you built. So in my mind, and I know a little bit about baseball and that's it, it's got to be an organizational philosophy that this is the Giants' way.
Okay.
We're going to be a fundamentally sound team. We're going to run the bases lights out. We're going to pitch it. We're going to catch it. We're going to get guys over. We're going to get guys in. We're going to bunt guys over. But you can't have a roster that's designed to slug, and then all of a sudden you're in a pennant race against a big team, and we're going to start doing things that we haven't done all year and we haven't taught our kids to do in the minor leagues.
So then why'd you do it last night?
Well, this is just what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because maybe there's a little tug of war from a manager that played in an era when the bunt was big,
do that,
in a front office that doesn't believe in it.
Maybe, although I'd also say I can feel what many out there listening are probably feeling as you're talking about the organizational philosophy. Like the idea of signing a bunch of people to be a team that thumps in this ballpark is absurd. You don't thump. You, in fact, did not hit a home run this entire homestand until the guy that you made bunt hit one earlier in this game. Two of the three names you mentioned as people bringing in to hit home runs aren't even on the team right now.
Yeah.
So, like, in fact, one of them's playing for the team that you're playing right now. So,
and we're throwing him strikes, which is blowing my mind.
I mean,
why
my
are we throwing
God,
Jorge Soler
Kyle Harrison
strike?
Throwing a ball on the outer half of the plate to Jorge Soler. It's like, did anybody else watch this guy hit?
Yeah, he was,
throw the ball in the dirt,
his delivery.
And he's going to swing at it, or he's going to hit a double play. We watched him do it all year long.
His delivery was too quick last night, and his arm slot was late, and he was missing to the arm side. He couldn't get it to the glove side until he slowed his delivery down, and then he started getting the ball in.
This one did not make any sense to me.
It does not make any sense to me. I tweeted
at all
last night, baseball's not easy, but it's not this hard.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Can you guys wait on that until I get done saying it? Let me finish talking before we get the sound effect?
You say the word tweet.
Oh, I got it.
All right, go ahead.
It's not that hard. They're making it harder than it is. It's not this hard. Like getting a bunt down. Is there outrage today if he gets that bunt down and Lamont Wade Jr. hits a double in the gap? Because I always think second guessing.
Yes, but the game's still going if that happens. That's my point. Let Tyler hit a double in the gap.
I'm with you.
And then you got a runner at second with nobody out and the game is tied. At least try it.
I get in arguments with my buddies all the time. They're like, you should be able to bunt if you're a big leaguer. In today's game, we don't see it.
I mean,
they don't practice it, more importantly. And then they expect them to do it. It's just, that's
understood.
How it goes.
That's how I wouldn't do it. Is my man Iglesias, is that who the closer is that's got him both nights? Now, is he throwing Tyler in that case on the inside part of the plate?
Yes.
They're jamming him.
Yes.
Because they don't want him to go to the right field, right?
Ideally, yes.
I mean, I don't know. I'm at least going to take a couple pitches with a guy that was going deep in counts. See if you can get ahead in the count. Make him use a little bit more of the plate. Have an inside-out philosophy. If you ground it to second base, you get the runner to third. If you get a line drive into the outfield with his speed, that might be a triple. And you're going to win the game. At least try.
You're not wrong.
I
think there's a confidence problem. And sometimes managers go through confidence problems where they start to doubt themselves. So I should have bunted Yaz last night, and here we are in the same situation. And I got crap for not bunting Yaz last night, and I didn't sleep, and maybe I should bunt Fitzgerald, and I just keep this game going.
By the way, it's also a crappy bunt.
It's terrible.
It was a terrible, terrible bunt. Like
it was an outside fastball.
Bunted to the third baseman.
Yeah, but
you may beat it out for a hit. Worst case scenario, there's nobody covering third, and the guy walks over to third base. You bunt it right out in front of the plate.
You bunt strikes. That wasn't a strike. Man. It was up and away, and you can't hook a pitch to third base that's up and away when you're bunting.
I really, really struggle watching these two teams the last two nights because they're the exact same team. You know,
I talked to some Braves coaches yesterday. They said we're not fundamentally sound.
They're
either.
Awful.
Yeah,
they're awful. Like we're all giving Blake Snell and Chris Sale this national exposure for this wonderful pitchers duel, and it's like, yes, you're both very good pitchers. You both had good stuff. Did anybody notice though? These hitters for both of these teams strike out constantly. These Braves hitters are swinging at crap in the dirt all night long, both nights. These two teams look exactly the same to me. They've got solid enough pitching staffs. They are a professional group, largely. They have some pop to their name value. They strike out constantly. They are situationally awful. And neither of them hit with runners in scoring position at all. There was not one hit in last night's game with a runner in scoring position for either team. And have you noticed that both teams, outside of a solo home run here or there, when they score, it's because they got lucky. The Giants tied the game because they got lucky. And the Braves won the game because they got lucky. Their runs in the 10th inning both nights have been because somebody squibbed a ball somewhere and it found the right spot on the field. These teams are awful situationally, and it's why both of them are scratching and clawing to maybe get into a playoff.
You know how you win at the big leagues right now? If I ever got back into coaching or managing, it's a very simple recipe for me. You get great pitching, decent bullpen, and you preach fundamentally sound baseball, situational hitting, taking the extra base. You emphasize base running. Yeah, you got to catch it. Yeah, you got to play defense. But it's such a seeing Sasquatch. If you see situational hitting or good base running now, and if you're a team that does that day in and day out, you're going to be in the postseason. I don't care. Give me 10 guys that play hard, 15 guys that play, 12 guys that play hard that can get a runner over, get a runner in, bunt a guy over, take an extra base, steal a base, catch the ball wherever you put them, and a good pitching staff. And we come to play every single night, and we got to work for 2.5 hours as hard as we can every night. And we play fundamentally sound baseball, 15, 20 games over 500, because nobody does it. Everybody swings for the fences. Guys don't want to get to two strikes because you're scared to get to two strikes. What do? You're overly aggressive in an 0-0 count. You swing at something. Then you're 0-1. You're thinking, oh, crap, I don't want to get to 0-2 because I strike out a lot. Then you swing at something because you're nervous and you're anxious and you don't want to get to 0-2, so you chase and it's 0-2 every time. Good RBI guys sit there and they wait for their pitch, and they don't care when it is. They don't care if it's in a 1-2 count, an 0-2 count, a 2-2 count. They're not afraid to get to two strikes. Watch guys hit today. They're afraid to get to two strikes, and they're swinging way too early in the count with runners in scoring position. Where that's where, and I've told you this on the air, off the air, you got to realize this is easy to say too into this microphone without 40,000 people screaming and yelling, and you're on national TV.
Or 20.
it's easy to say, but the best RBI guys do this. And you get into grooves as a hitter where you're so confident. I don't care if there's three strikes on me. I don't give a crap. I'm going to sit here and wait for my pitch. And if I don't get to my pitch and there's two strikes, I stick my you-know-what in the dirt and I battle. I choke up. I fight. I'm going to fight my ass off and put the ball in play. I'm not going to swing out of my ass and my helmet falls off in a 1-2 count with a runner in scoring position. But even I'm probably most of the time not going to get to a 1-2 count because I'm looking for my pitch. And I'm not anxious, and I'm not afraid. I've been in those situations where I'm struggling to put the ball in play, and I'm swinging early. And then you swing at something out of your strike zone, out of your plan, and it's 0-1, and you step out, and you go, crap, I don't want to get to 0-2. And then you swing at something else, and it's 0-2, and you're always 0-2, and you're always 1-2, because you're worried about getting the two strikes, and you're worried about striking out. That's why you're seeing so many punch-outs. It's a mindset, and it's an attitude with two strikes, especially with a runner in scoring position. If I got a guy like Elliot Ramos or Matt Chapman, and it's the third inning and there's nobody on in two outs, you can swing out of your ass with two strikes. I don't care. Let it rip. Let's do some damage with two outs. But there has to be another club in your bag besides the driver with a runner on third and two outs. So I'm going to go to my 5-iron here. I'm going to go to my 8-iron. I'm going to put something in play to get that run in. I can't just swing my driver every single tee box, every single pitch, every single at-bat all season long. And that's what you're seeing league-wide. This isn't a Giants thing. It's one swing, and it's the same swing, and it doesn't matter what the count is.
Pretty big 24 hours. Better win two baseball games.
Ooh, you got to win one tonight first.
Better win two.
Tonight?
You better
win two.
It's
going to be hard.
Yeah, they're all hard because they don't score runs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.